And the court will please order.
Hi, Amanda.
Can we get, I need a minute on the minute.
What?
I need a minute okay. on the minute.
Go ahead.
Thank you. Does that mean I made a motion and then seconded it to approve the minutes?
I was going to wait until you got done. Somebody like the motion? Accept those minutes?
I'll second it.
Hey, Manny, you're number one. You're number two.
There you go. Thank you.
Okay, we only have two resolutions, so why don't we do those real quickly. Lovely. Authorizing the chairman of the Ulster County Legislature to enter into a lease agreement with Ulster Savings Bank for office space with the Public Defender's Office. They're moving. Did anybody have an opportunity to have a conversation with Andy Kotzover? Because he called me. And I guess I have people having problems finding where it is. It used to be down at in the family court. The fence has been moved. So now they want to put it up on Wall Street, above the Ulster County Savings Bank. They got to, I guess, you know. Right, so it's easier for people to find it.
Right.
Mm-hmm. It makes sense that it's right close to the courts.
Sounds good.
Okay, I need a motion for discussion.
I'll make a motion for discussion.
Okay. Okay, so, I spoke with him yesterday. He explained that to me. Have you ladies had an opportunity to look him over?
I was just trying to remember, how does this compare? You know, we just did that lease. This is, they're leasing county space, right, for the public defender's office, is that right? Did I miss that?
The county is leasing the space for
more than
the public
defender's office. Okay.
Is this,
Right now they're up near where the old mental health was, Golden Hill, which is a nowhere land.
Yeah.
For that. Mm-hmm. And so it's really kind of out of the loop, as opposed to being a town. Supreme Court, you have family court, you have all the courts.
Mm-hmm. All these we own that space, and this is going to be a rental. So the question is, in terms of the quality of service that they can provide by being more
accessible.
Yeah.
Well, but then it leaves vacant space in the Golden Hill facility, right?
Unless they want to use it for something else, and I don't know what that might be, but, I mean, that's been ongoing. We have, you know, we still have the old jail that's vacant. We still have other buildings.
Well, but if we keep moving people out is it just because of location, that's why they're being moved out?
Well, that's a big part of it, but people have been having trouble finding it. Mm. Getting to it. I don't think there's buses that run up there, are there?
I don't know about the city bus.
I mean, obviously you can't go there, but you can't pick people up in the city of Kingston, I think.
I guess the answer would have to come from Andy. You know, I mean, he's the one that knows best why he needs to be at this location.
Yeah, and I think only because it's just very, a very difficult place.
What do we charge the college for Shuffiefin?
On a square foot basis, yeah. I think it came to like $690, didn't it?
Didn't you get a thing that said... That's what I was trying to...
I
didn't think it was a double digit like that.
But I will say that the college at Shuffiefin is paying all their utilities and a bunch of stuff, whereas this is...
That's an accessibility issue because it's right next to high school.
Right, and this also is going to... they're going to put up some offices for us in there. There was, the lease had a page attached to it with a map.
Oh, they're going to build out?
Yeah, look at the...
There's going to be some offices.
Why don't we get the detail?
Well, I email it to you. So you get it when I send out the agenda, but then I just attach it to the goal.
Okay.
I can copy. Some of them are...
I get it.
But I do email
them too. I forgot. But I don't remember seeing a floor plan, that's why.
I can tell you though, if they're doing these in here,
cubicles,
yeah, maybe one or two other things. I have a big map, but there's no way, you know, I folded it up and attached it.
How many people are moving with this?
He has a lot of people. He has a lot of part-time people. I don't know if he's got any 12, 15.
There's quite a few assistant public defenders.
And I think, I don't know if you pay attention to any of this in the paper, but there's a big push on for indigent legal services. And they're kind of, it appears to me from what I've read, that they're kind of throwing money at him. And he's hoping, from what I understand, to get like four more people. So.
Is there no room in the courthouse itself?
No. Not at this point, because that's always been a problem.
Okay. It just, if I remember, the court
in fact,
25 years ago when they set up the recycling program, I think they were in the courthouse.
Consumer fraud was part of that at one point.
Right, but...
And then they moved over to the Lucas Avenue...
Family court. They were in the family court building.
Right after that, you had the public defenders also move over to the family court. So they were kind of adjacent to one another.
Yeah.
But from what I understand, consumer fraud was part of the district attorney's office. So that's why that was up there. But the space, they don't have space there anymore. They did a ton of renovations.
Okay.
I think I spent $11 million up there in renovations at one point. The cupola and all the other stuff. Yes.
So this is 5-year lease, no incremental increases. It's flat for 5 years.
Right.
You can't set any.
Right.
We do have that. Okay.
Yep.
Anna?
Yes.
All right. All those in favor?
Okay.
Any opposed? If not.
Yeah. No. Not going.
Okay. All right. Let's move on.
Peter Lynn.
Okay. Resolution 316, establishing capital project. 392 through 402 HVAC and weatherization project. Various county buildings. Can I get a motion for discussion?
Motion for discussion.
Second. Okay, discussion.
Didn't we approve a bunch of HVAC last year? Did we?
I thought we did. We did approve some. I don't know the extent, but I don't
really. And is this in addition to what was already approved? This is 2.5.
Mm-hmm.
These are all ones together to be interchangeable, not to exceed 2.5, correct?
I guess it depends on how they get set up.
Well, that's what they're saying in this resolution. So that's,
it says that they can do that.
The Commissioner of Finance can transfer funds between these projects when bids are open.
Right. Well, obviously, if our numbers are, I don't know when these numbers were developed. They're off. This is similar to the Bailey Bridge. I think we went through this.
But you have no, we have no idea if this was done last year. For some reason, this is, I feel like we've already done this. That's why I'm...
We did some HVAC weatherization last year. I'm assuming this is for
different
buildings.
Well, I know we did some at
BFS. Yeah, I see that.
We did some at BFS last year, and I only know that because I was the contract manager, and I remember doing the contract.
So maybe it's just different buildings.
Well, that wouldn't be hard to
sit on. How many buildings do we have? Do we actually have?
How many what?
Buildings.
Oh, my God.
100 and some?
I don't know. I wouldn't even let you to guess. But you've got a ton between...
Amanda might have a list.
Yeah.
Okay.
Mm-hmm.
Oh, it's
here.
Yeah. I think I might have.
We own a lot of buildings.
We own property. I have 22 in this list, but I know that, you know, there's multiple buildings at the quarry. You know, that doesn't...
These are
on there?
And then you've got Newport, you've got a show,
but all together,
right, don't they have a salt sheds?
Yeah.
And then you've got the Sheriff's Department who has substations.
I know that we are not in buildings.
Is this a copy for me?
Nope. I'll make them for you.
Then here you go. This is the list of all the buildings and the nicest buildings. So yes, I would love a copy. Thank you.
No.
You could email it to me. Email is great.
I'm thinking I might.
That way it's on file. You have it on file. You don't have to worry about a hard copy.
Exactly. And where did I put it?
You create a little file and everything kind of goes in it.
This is kind of exactly what I've been asking about, is to be able to understand moving forward, because I trust that it will increase operational efficiency, energy conservation, and improve ventilation. But it would be, I don't think it would be that difficult to actually project the savings. And that, you know, when I've been asking for understanding the energy efficiency improvements that were done and that are being planned, that we know will be done, this is a know will be done, and, you know, into the future. That's what we've been asking about.
I have a quick question that maybe sure you can answer. Probably not.
Thanks for that phone call.
The energy that is going to be generated from the solar projects, will that go to specific buildings, or will that just go into the grid and will we get paid so that we can use that to offset the cost of the electricity?
I know Amanda knows this, but I would like to crack at it first,
okay.
If I may, just to show I've been paying attention. If the solar project at the town of, the landfill in the town of Ulster moves forward. That'll be remote net metering, so it'll basically go on to the grid. It won't actually, we'll get credit for it and we'll get paid for it and all of that, but the one that's in the college will actually be used first at the college, and then if there's any excess, that
would be great. I paid attention.
It's going to be used primarily for the college.
It's called a behind-the-meter installation. So,
okay.
Being that it's physically on the site where the meter is and where the use is, it goes first to...
How does that benefit the county?
It's directly... we have a smaller installation at the New Paltz Fall Shed. So this is kind of where you can use this as a... kind of an example. So we have solar panels on our DPW substation in New Paltz. When we're producing electricity and using it there, like in the summer if we're running the air conditioning or something like that, it's directly being consumed by the building. So it does not go out onto the grid.
But those are the...
And that's electricity that we don't have to use whole.
Okay, but that's where you have... Those panels are going to be at those substations, right?
Well,
so what I'm asking is, the wattage, the megawatts that are going to be generated out at the college. The college will probably not use all of that electricity generated. Even if it does, I still need to know, how is that working in relationship to the county developing it? Because the college
absolutely.
Is...
So there's an electric meter, there's one master meter at the college. It would be swapped out so that it's called like a net meter. So it's able to calculate exactly how much energy, if any, is being consumed, like let's say at night where we need to draw electricity when the solar isn't producing anything, or maybe in the middle of the day in June when their usage isn't high because there's not a lot of people on campus. It would be producing electricity and pushing it out into the grid. It keeps track of exactly when you're producing it, when you're feeding it back, and when you still demand electricity. And it balances that per a bill cycle. In the summer at the New Paltz substation, we actually get a bill credit because we produce enough electricity that we're offsetting both our usage and our delivery charges from the central husband. In the winter, we don't so much do that because of, you know, heating and other so it would be the same thing at the college. At the landfill, you know, that would go out onto the grid. It would be used by other customers in that area, which is, it makes the location of that site important because there are a lot of commercial, large-scale users of electricity right around the landfill there. But then, again, we have a special meter there that would track exactly how much electricity is being produced and pushed onto
the
grid.
We could
and then that comes back on our bill.
We can offset the cost of the electricity, say, in this building with the credit.
Yep. And actually, as big as that installation is, and it's very large, really the only account that we need to give them in order to balance that out is the law enforcement center. That would really...
And no matter what location you're talking about, if you make more than you use, you still get that credit?
Well, you have to have a bill or a portfolio of accounts somewhere that adds up to that amount that you're generating.
So you're only allowed
how about
to
if your surplus?
Who gets that?
You're only allowed to make on an annual basis up to 110% of what you're generating.
Okay.
So if it was just this building, it would be a lot more than, you know, that solar installation at the landfill is going to generate a lot more than we're getting just here. So you look at all our accounts together that we're paying and how that offsets it.
So you can only gain 10%
overall. Yeah. They don't want people, especially on a residential scale, just like putting up huge solar installations producing 200-500% more than they need in order just to sell it back.
See, I'm really concerned about the idea that the college, we don't really own the college. We pay, we contribute to it. You know, we're involved with it, but we don't really own it. And I just don't understand the connection between the solar, the development of the solar project, and the college. We're just giving that to them.
Well, that one, they're signing the lease for it, so it's really going to be how this works with Solar City, because they wouldn't own the solar installation.
It's going to be 6 years.
At least 6 years.
At least 6 years, right. Once it goes any longer, they won't want it.
No. They don't really own the equipment, especially
right.
at the outset.
They're agreeing
for a fee schedule, over a period of time to buy the electricity for, X cents a kilowatt hour that's being generated. All the electricity that's going to be generated on site, they're agreeing to buy for a set price over a set period of time. That's a power purchase agreement.
And that set price is lower than what it would be if they didn't have a solar system. And that's a power purchase agreement.
And so any credit to that, so that's a different setup than what's done at the defaults and the landfill, correct?
It's essentially they're... it's slightly different than what's done in New Paltz because we own that system. These are both power purchase agreements, the landfill site and the college.
It's with the county? The agreement is with the county?
The signatory to the college's agreement is the college.
Okay.
The signatory to the landfill
is the county.
Is it the county or the UCRA? The UCRA made an agreement with the county to let the county do it?
They've made a resolution of support.
The
application. We will have to negotiate a site license in order for them to be the physical host.
But the credits don't come back for both of those locations to the county?
The credits for the landfill come to the county. The credits for the college go to the college.
Okay.
Yeah, we kind of got off topic. Huh?
Yeah, no, but that's helpful to know. I didn't realize. Okay.
So, all right, let's move on to the resolution.
So, just a question to your point then is, what you were talking about is what's the energy savings that's going to be provided by these. Will that be something that comes out of the bid process? Or can it be done before it goes into the bid process? So how do you come up with these numbers, otherwise?
Which numbers?
The numbers for the HVAC.
Well, the HVAC, you mean for the projects themselves?
Right.
These are numbers that are come up by our project manager.
Okay.
There are also, there are industry standards if you have this.
But do they do the cost-benefit analysis at the time they're pulling the numbers together? So
we wouldn't be able to do that until an engineer designs the project and tells us what he's
doing. And then we get to where we're just talking about RFP.
Okay. Part of the RFP would be that we... Okay. have certain requirements for energy savings.
And they would be doing the calculations for energy savings.
Right. But what I can offer is that from the energy audit side of it, we do have initial numbers on what those energy savings would
in the and what goes out in the RFP.
No, in the existing in the Siemens energy audit.
Okay.
And that's what I have updated here to share.
This is assuming that we wind up with whatever it was they proposed.
Yeah.
This is like when we talked about establishing the capital project.
Right.
The RFP is when they actually go out, and it comes back with the...
And I would have to just add there, too, that, there's always a constantly evolving schedule of how NYSERDA will incentivize certain energy efficiency improvements. Sometimes they will contribute some money to upgrading to a more expensive but more energy efficient unit, like a rooftop unit, and that's all something that the architect or engineer would take into account. Mm-hmm. Like,
you know, you may be able to double your incentive if you go to this tier rating, it's going to cost you more, but in the long term, the cost savings are there.
That's this helpful, because I'm still getting the feel for all of these capital projects, how it pays out, what the timing is, so here's my next question, having said that. We're proofing up to 2.5. Mm-hmm. We're not sure what's going to come back on the bid. Say the bids come back and what it'll actually cost is, you know, when you tally everything up, 2.2.
Mm-hmm.
What happens to that other 300,000? It can't be used for anything else other than this, correct? Because it's a bond, right?
That's right.
And so did they go towards relieving? Oh, you wouldn't bond that. Okay.
You only bond.
That's right. You bond. I just want to make sure I understand. You know, because if we're saying that the finance commissioner can transfer funds to, I just want to understand how it works.
And that's why it's that way, because if we're able to do that and do all the projects for 2.5, but one of them is, because it's incentivized in some way, is way less than another one, and we have an opportunity. It's like the roads that we just did. We saved money here and there, and so we could do two more.
Mm-hmm.
You know what I mean? And that's a good thing. In the contract, this may not be the full list of roads.
Right.
And this is that kind of thing where you want to be able to just
have some flexibility.
Right.
And then once the bids come back, then what we will see is, what do you want to bond for?
Right.
Based on all the bids.
Right. You'll see the
contract. Once the bids come back, we'll accept them. And once we accept those bids, then we'll have to do the bonding for
them. Got it.
Okay. And you'll see it's very unlikely that a capital project is going to have a contract.
Unless we don't accept the bids.
So they're going to come through here.
Right. Okay. That's all I needed to know. Thank you.
Okay.
So I do have one more question. It's whether or not there can be language, or there may already be planning to be language, in the RFP that asks for an estimate of the energy savings that will accrue, or I guess my sense is to look at the triple bottom line, not, you know, to have some flexibility if two bids are close. And, you know, we're not talking there about interior design. We're talking specifically about HVAC and weatherization, which is where the major energy efficiency can come.
Life cycle costs.
Or at least have them
operational costs.
By estimating the energy savings, we can begin to understand if one bid is slightly higher but the operational costs are going to be lower, that could be
part of the savings.
Yeah.
That's a standard, from what I've seen so far, that's standard, they would, certainly analyze, good example, again, is the SEER on different units, depending on how efficient they are, you can really cut down on the operational energy, and you have to look at the life and the payback.
So
that's all part of the process, and it's doing that.
Absolutely, it's part of the energy audit. And that's part of how we've kind of been looking at what are higher priority improvements to do, not only from, what equipment is really at the end of its current life, but also what equipment, if replaced, will have a, can you replace it with something that's considerably more energy efficient and have a bigger payback on that investment. So that's definitely all part of the calculus.
Okay.
Happy to be made clear, though, in the when you the contracts for the architect and the engineer are RFP. They're based on an RFP, and we have flexibility, and we can go with people we
have learned to trust or who have done good jobs in the past or whatever. It's that whole criteria, the evaluation committee that we talked about before. The bids for the actual contracting work are bids. Bids have to be awarded to the lowest responsive, responsible bidder.
Yeah, no, so, I understand.
So the data she's looking for will be in the RFP, because that will be part of the design of the
RFP, the bid. Everybody's bidding on it.
No, I'm saying, I understand that. That's on
the RFP.
The RFP will have these energy savings built in, life cycle, return on investment. That's all part of what they design and build with those things in mind.
That analysis is part of the RFP, the specification to, after the case is
given. That's the RFP.
We want to steer this, we want this. That goes into the RFP. Because you also need that if we're planning on a NYSERDA incentive, it has to be that equipment that's standard.
Right, so certain equipment gets different credits. Got it.
So the engineering services happen before the bid.
Right.
And
often that's part of the responsibility of the engineering firm is to prepare all the bid documents.
Yeah.
And to assist with the bid, yeah.
So I guess what I'm looking for is, something that approaches life cycle analysis that otherwise, when you go out to bid for construction, somebody can win the bid because it's the lowest bid, but it wouldn't take into account operational costs and energy savings.
That's where the architect or the engineer who you retained to design the system, that is all part of the spec. They have to go and put on paper exactly what
there are engineers and there are engineers. I want to be sure it's an engineer that is looking for those efficiencies.
Mm-hmm.
And so in that RFP, that's where the rubber will hit the road. Do you get to review them?
I've seen a couple projects that I'm involved with, but on a
general basis,
there are a lot of RFPs.
No, I mean for something specifically like this.
We often absolutely tap into her knowledge base to get wording for our documents. A lot of people do.
That's why I can never get through to her. No, she's very good about returning those.
Any other questions on this?
Mm-hmm. No, I just wanted to be sure that this is, again, if it was for something other than vehicles or construction that directly involves energy efficiency, I might not be asking so many questions, but this is...
That's my job. It's my job. Okay, all those in favor?
Aye.
Aye. Opposed? None. Carried. That's it on the resolutions. We only had two. And we have a visitor. I understand you want to speak again?
It's kind of early right out of the same discussion, so I just want to spend a little more time about implementing the energy audit, which I have an updated list for you similar to pretty much the same as the one that was shared with, I think, this committee last fall. I don't know if it's it might have been through energy and environment and then subsequently to this committee. What this list is
there was the 2010 Siemens Energy Audit.
Yeah.
And the first thing I just want to kind of set the stage by saying is that there's, we had this great, this very comprehensive facilities grade energy audit that was completed by Siemens in 2010. And since then, they've done a little work to refresh that now in 2015. But Siemens is in the business of both doing energy audits and implementing them through a mechanism called performance contracting.
Finance company.
It's, right, a finance company. And it's, I think it's pretty important to kind of be able to separate those in our minds as far as there's the energy audit and the recommendations of that, as far as, you know, where we should be looking across county buildings and facilities for really good payback and energy efficiency improvements. And then there's Siemens wanting to market their performance contracting aspect of their business.
I can't multitask as well as I think I can.
Did we get the other one right?
Yeah.
Very good. So that's kind of the first thing. That, you know, we talk a lot about the Siemens Energy Audit, and they've been back through to want to come in and present and do things. What they really want to present about is their services as a performance contractor. The Energy Audit was a comprehensive facilities grade energy audit done in 2010. They've done some kind of refreshing of some numbers in 2015, but that's mainly in order to refresh the proposal to put in front of the county to sell their performance contracting services. Performance contracting is where you might take a list of work like that was just in that capital, have a company like Siemens in to do it, in which they guarantee energy savings from that, and saying that they're going to offset the cost of certain projects from the energy savings.
They do all the analysis. They do all the monitoring. They do all the reporting.
Maybe put this in context.
I implement their items on the list,
and
then they get paid.
Right. Well, they get paid for a lease payment.
They get paid no matter
what.
You should
have to do that program.
Yeah.
They're doing the contract work.
Yes.
They come and ensuring that the projected energy savings are realized.
Right.
And if they're not, what happens? Who do they go back to?
The people who installed
it?
They say very firmly in their pitch that they will cut you a check. If they are not realizing the energy savings that they say they're supposed to, they will absolutely, they want the right to come in and fix it, and if they can't, they will pay you for it. However, there's a manual from the federal government on how you measure and verify those energy savings that's about this thick. And what we found in 2010 when we reviewed it is a lot of the things that they were saying they wanted to do for measurement and verification weren't kind of passing muster with what some of the standards were that we were looking at. And there were some other things in the contract that kind of led us to part ways in our negotiations with Siemens.
Who are they working with? Are they working with other counties? Are they working with corporations? I mean, who's their client? Is it counties?
Yes, counties, school districts that are often looking for a way to do improvements that are not part of a capital program that
right.
had to go out for referendum
okay.
because it's a lease payment.
Right.
They are working with some other counties. There's some public, they're in trouble with some other counties near the state right now, where, and it's not particularly, does not shine a good light on this process or the contractor.
We were all very skeptical when we met. How many times?
We had big meetings.
Yeah.
Did you talk to them about the fact that they weren't meeting the standards and the calculations?
Say that they're
are they certified, that they're certified by the federal government?
Well, no, it's more like, okay, so if you do lighting, outdoor lighting might be easy to do because you know it's on a photo sensor and it comes on at this time when it's light out and it goes off when you're done. Indoor lighting, you know, it's a little more, you might have one room that you use a lot and one room that you don't use a lot. So they were using all kind of
standard averages.
Calculations for that versus, okay, let's see if we can find the lighting circuit and the meter the lighting circuit and see if we're saving the energy.
Right.
Yeah. Or they choose certain, sometimes less costly ways of verifying that, measuring it and verifying it, or ways that maybe help them, you know.
So it's setting the thermostat, you know, they say, one thing that I think I remember is about that the room would be between these temperatures, and if you didn't get the energy savings that you
the door open,
they would say, well, somebody will move the thermostat up, or, you know,
if they weren't responsible for
it. Right. There's a myriad of ways that they can demonstrate, you know, that it wasn't because but yet this is the business that they're in. This is what they want to engage you in.
Mm-hmm.
So we all just felt more comfortable.
Even aside, in terms of performance contracting, they did make recommendations.
Yeah,
and that's
the key.
Energy audit part of it.
Right.
Okay. So that's why I want to separate the two. There's the energy audit, and then there's the performance contracting.
And so what I've been trying to understand, and I think others, is how much of the recommendations that they made have been implemented, and what's the plan?
And that's a great. That's the heart of it. So I just want to, like, separate us from, you know, having to talk to humans or have them do the implementation.
Because they're trying to really use that to pay other business.
That's
how they make their money. So
we got it.
Okay. So they didn't make any money on us.
Well, you came from the audit.
Yeah,
was substantial. So it was actually half state funded, half federal grant funds. So.
Well, and it's now something with which to work with going forward that you can do.
Exactly.
Right. Okay.
So this was the, what we did was look, you know, at the energy audit, which is a big binder, which I think has been shared with you digitally, and just list out the different, they call them FIMs, Facility Improvement Measures, and there's about 80 of them by building. And then look at them and say, okay, what have we partially completed, what have we totally completed, what's part of a capital that's open right now, what's part of this capital that we just reviewed. And so that's what this list is. I just had trouble with my color printer as I was leaving, but I also realized that it was a color scheme that would not be any use to you, so I apologize. So luckily, you don't realize how easy that is to do.
Oh, I didn't know that.
Yeah. You know what I mean?
I didn't know that. Do you have enough?
I need a
two other legislators.
Oh, okay.
Yeah. That you're colorblind?
Yeah, so I
but don't count.
So in the black and white version that I just passed out, I can share the color version with Nettie, but this black and white version in the status column, that's pretty much everything that would have been colored anyway. So you're going to get the information out of there.
This is what I've been interested in. Thanks.
So,
we never got this before. It's not like I didn't
know. Okay. No, I think you did, but it's okay. But it was
the end of August.
It's been updated.
Okay.
And especially with this proposed capital that's now moving through committee.
So just so I understand, otherwise address.
Sure.
What does the status mean? If you could just
sure, absolutely. So in the color version here, just to give you a little look at this, we have green cells, which are county has performed this upgrade. So that's if you see in that status column where it says completed, proposed, completed, completing, ongoing. That would be all the green cells.
Mm.
Purple is the upgrade work is ongoing, and that means mainly that CPW is doing it as they can as part of their ongoing maintenance operation.
Mm-hmm.
If it says planned 2015 had a budget, proposed capital, that would be what's in my chart here as an orange cell, and that means that it's either part of an established capital, it's part of this new sheet of proposed capitals, or it was even kind of budgeted for it in 2015, and it should be done.
Okay, so an established, so it's proposed capital are ones that just have not been approved yet, so that's why there's no capital number here, is that correct?
Correct, and that's the one you just voted on.
Right.
So everything, pretty much everything that says proposed capital is that suite of 10 capitals that you just approved.
If you want, I can make a color copy for you in your mailboxes.
Yeah,
color scheme
too.
No, color scheme's fine.
Pardon me? It's faint.
Okay. You were running out of ink.
Well,
if you email me, I'll print it in color.
Okay, that, and we can pick something other than red and green. Is that your...
Yes.
Okay.
I can tell you the difference.
And then the blue ones are sometimes there were things proposed in the energy audit that have otherwise been addressed. And all of those are pretty much every one of those is on the last page. Mm-hmm. There's a specific footnote speaking to that. Facility improvement measure. It's also important to note that there are certain buildings that we're not addressing anymore that were part of the initial 2010 audit.
Mm-hmm.
Starting on the first page, really not doing much with community corrections right now because we don't know the state of that being so close to the jail site and exactly what that's going to look like since there are plans to sell that site. Flatbush is right.
The old jail?
Yeah.
Okay.
Community corrections is right next to the old jail.
Other than
demolish it or blow it up or
whatever.
Sell it off. It's beautiful.
The deer needs a forest back. Deer get hit right over there.
Unbelievable. Flatbush Annex, that's building that's not in the...
What is,
and maybe just because I can't see the color, sure. But on the courthouse, the boiler replacement, the status is delay. Everything else is...
On the courthouse. If you see that one has a payback of 192 years.
Payback is in years.
Right.
Okay.
Yeah. Okay. Yeah. Payback is in years, and then estimated that those energy savings in the last four columns there would be annual electric savings total yes. per year gas.
Yeah. Oh, per year. Yeah, you have a year on the bonus.
So, this proposed capital really does speak to these ones that are definitely ones that are more ongoing operational problems that are nearing the end of their life so that they're becoming bigger maintenance problems, so more time and outside contract dollars are necessary to keep them up and running.
Mm-hmm.
So there, there's many different lenses along with energy or straight payback here in which you look at how these things become the kind of top of the list. We've been very fortunate to be able to take advantage of a lot of different incentive money and also program money, especially for lighting available from Central Hudson.
Mm-hmm.
We do exterior lighting, interior lighting, which we did the first round in 2011, and additional interior lighting, which we're currently evaluating right now, which we do a whole another series of interior lighting retrofits.
Mm-hmm.
there's other...
I think, you know what's going to help is the color code
over here, that cubic, centa, it's 100 cubic feet of gas. It's a, it's almost the same as a, what do they call it, a decatherm? The CCF is just about
a... It's a measurement of decatherm.
Right, it's a 100 cubic feet. I can pass this along just so you get like a...
I think once we get the actual, it's going to be it. And this is just the number, the SIM number in the book. It's not priority, you know, so the prioritization of all of these is already done in the capital projects, I guess?
Or it's when you look at a bunch of things, like energy savings. You look at, is it at the end of its life? Is it becoming a maintenance burden? You know, is this something that can be done through ongoing kind of building work, like weatherization, which can kind of be picked up here and there, or is it something that, like, needs to be part of a capital project?
But this helps plan for whatever that scenario is. Okay. So, for example, I just looked at the first one as a capital project. 392 Ocean County Courthouse HVAC weatherization, and that says proposed capital, and then it shows the potential savings and the initial payback. So that, and I'm assuming that if I go through each one of these, they're going to show, pretty much going to show up on here.
Absolutely.
Now, are there other recommendations other than the Siemens energy audit? I know you said they tweaked them a little, but has anybody else looked at the buildings and made any other?
Not since then. I mean, it was like $188,000 energy audit. I mean, it was not a, like...
The most comprehensive, but it was
good. Oh, no, that's a very comprehensive.
Very comprehensive.
Yeah, it's considered facilities grade, which is, this is not like a nice sort of walk-through on a building. When they did work up to look at lighting at the jail, they left stencils in, like, dozens and dozens of
buildings. Oh, to measure it.
To look at how often the lights were on, when it was occupied. And you have, you know, appendices in that report that are just...
You know the whole report, right? And they don't just have motion sensors so that if there's any movement.
That's the, we have a capital that was established just a couple months back to start doing more sensors, more LED lighting at the jail.
Isn't there any place up where the jail is to do solar?
There should be, and that, you know...
I mean, they have a flat roof. They have land.
Certainly looking great, but...
A roof, you could do flat roof, you can...
I think we should be at a place pretty soon, I would think, to, you know, in addition to our power purchase agreement, maybe we'll get some proposals for that. I mean, I don't...
It
makes sense, except whenever I think of the jail, I always think that there's probably the Department of Corrections has a lot to say about the structural
and the use of the building. Within the building, I would agree with. What's found outside the building is a little bit different.
Yes, it is a little bit different, but I just wouldn't surprise me if they had some regulations and that there was some security concern because they have to come through the roof.
Yeah.
Just that kind of stuff. I mean, I don't know that that's a fact, but...
But
it seems like it lends itself.
And too, also, like, you know, we try to make sure that we're thinking about energy use and conservation across the board, not just at the jail, even though that's a main consumer. You know, the first thing is conservation, and that's something like lighting sensors, and that's not particularly flashy, but if you're only, if you can turn the lights off half the time, you've doubled your efficiency without really spending much money. Same thing with, like, you know, with a car. If you can carpool one time, you've doubled your efficiency of that vehicle for that trip. I mean, that's huge savings without changing equipment. So that's number one. Then number two is going to more efficient lighting. If we can, you know, use LEDs in here and use a bit of the
line. We should be utilizing all of it. We should be looking at the efficiency as well as other ways to
improve
how we get the energy.
Yeah. In general, your most cost-effective ways are definitely going to be to start with the conservation to the efficiency, then the on-site renewables, and then thinking about, you know, renewable energy credits and off-site. So that's always the hierarchy.
Right.
To.
But I mean, even like this building, this has a slab roof. There's nothing out there.
Yeah. Right. And you know, we've done some measurements to see, okay, you know, how big of a system could we put up there? What would it cost? How much of the building load would it cover? You know, we're looking, and the county is always in a. It's not bad here. There's other buildings like BRC where it is an issue. But if we go through, if we spend $140,000 to put solar panels on that roof and we're covering maybe 10% of the base load, we can turn around for $7,000 and save 28,000 kilowatts a year by putting LED lighting outside. You know, like, so let's start with the bang for your buck. Although it's not the solar panels on the roof, it's like, let's get serious about lighting.
Why haven't we utilized solar street lighting in our facilities?
So we've switched to LED lights for everything outside. But the solar street lights, last time we spec'd them out, they were $5,000 a piece. You know? And
compared to
600
bucks for an LED head.
Yeah, but that's the whole
point. So you'd have to put a whole new pole in
versus
the solar, right?
But you're talking about the 600. That's an entire LED. That's the pole. That's the light.
You need a battery. Mm-hmm. You need wiring.
Battery.
Where those poles are absolutely. Are a cost-effective way to go is some place where you need to add a pole where you don't want to wire it. You know, you don't want to have to trench back to wherever and put it on your circuit. We did put a couple up at Golden Hill because we didn't want to trench, and we put two standalone solar streetlights up there. By far, you realize how much energy savings and cost savings. When you look at the paybacks, you know, we did paybacks of under 18 months for the switching LED lights at the UCLEC and at the rest of our buildings. We averaged, the whole project aggregated was an 18-month payback for $75,000 worth of exterior LED conversions.
That's a no-brainer.
That's $50,000 in our pocket a year from switching those bulbs from high-pressure sodium. But if you would go to, you know, a couple $1,000 fixture, you know, you're going to blow that out of the water. You know, you're going to be looking at a 25-30-year payback. And although it's renewable, you know, we think our effort and our dollars are better spent somewhere else where we can realize more energy savings. And that, it goes back to that kind of hierarchy, and that although on-site renewables are good, you know, at what cost? And, you know, maybe, you know, a small percentage of that money going to buy RECs for right now is good. As we develop these more cost-effective, large-scale, off-site solar installations.
So that's where I start having some concern, because, we have two potential power purchase agreements, mm-hmm. and we own a solar array at the DPW in Newport.
Modest.
Yeah.
And is there anything else that we are that Ulster County is generating? So we're using a lot of electricity. I totally support the energy efficiency first. You know, you seal the building, you upgrade before you invest in solar. But if the way RECs work is that you're basically subsidizing somebody else to put solar somewhere else. That's
on renewable energy.
You know, it's not increasing our energy independence. Lowering our energy consumption is increasing our energy independence. But we need to start putting infrastructure in place. And
I think the two solar installs that are the landfill and the college absolutely do that.
Yeah, they do. But it's, you know,
do you have an issue with the contractors?
No. I don't have a big issue about whether we lease or whether we own. I honestly think we need a much more aggressive effort to start generating our own, because it will pay back. You're not having to pay for fuel. Once you put the infrastructure in place, you don't have to pay for fuel. And
do you not have the power purchases agreements doing that? Or I'm just trying to understand.
I tend to prefer that the county directly invest, as you have at the New Post DPW, in solar that we own.
Mm-hmm.
But I have no, I don't have a strong objection to the power purchase agreement.
And
my concern is, if you look at the amount of kilowatt hours a year the county consumes, we're not moving away from our dependence on fossil fuel or, in my case, I have a very specific concern about nuclear energy, until we put real renewable resources in place.
That's supposed to reduce our cost by 25%. And so if that's the case, then we are going without absorbing the cost
up front. That's the thing, it's very expensive and you have to have the money for it. I mean, we're government, we're constrained by taxpayer dollars. All of us are taxpayers.
If you look at the consequences for not doing it, you're just deferring costs in terms of resilience, in terms of, you know,
you
not
still have to have the money.
Right.
You know what I mean? 2 points on, and one is just to, there's an economy of scale with larger solar installations. When you look at exactly, you know, how many millions of kilowatt hours we use, that, you know, putting an installation on this building and then putting an installation on another building and finding a little space behind some other building to put something, that's a lot of equipment, and it would reduce the kind of amount bang for our buck, like how much renewable energy we could produce for how much investment in the equipment we would be making. That's where those larger off-site installations like the landfill really does help meet our demand in the most cost-effective way to generate the most power that we can, because you're not doing all these smaller installations. It's not saying that we shouldn't.
Amount to saying people shouldn't install solar on their homes. They should wait until there's a community solar and buy into that. What I'm saying is, for example, in New Jersey, the next state over, I was in one town where the middle school had a 2-kilowatt system and college had a 2.5-kilowatt system, a megawatt system, and we're looking at a total countywide of this county's investment of, you know, 3 to 4 megawatts of solar, and I think it needs to be more like 30 or 40. I mean, I don't know what our consumption is, but
12 million.
what is it?
12 to 13 million kilowatt hours.
It's 12 to 13. Okay. So,
13.
I do think we need to look at
to do more.
Finding ways to invest in solar that will pay itself back by the dollar savings because we're generating the electricity. If it makes sense and the payback for a 6.7 kilowatt system that I'm considering is like 5 to 7 years.
That's because you can realize tax credits for rent.
Yes, the investment tax credit.
That's a big thing, and that's where the power purchase agreement, you know, it takes 6 years for those private companies to realize those tax credits.
Right.
So having that first opportunity to buy that system out after they've gotten their money out of the deal, that's really as kind of good as it gets.
So you're saying we're
government,
yes, because we're 13 million kilowatt hours,
right? About 13.
Yeah,
so that immediately jumps the cost up of us doing like.
And it's 6 years we should own it anyway.
You know, like solar on the roof here is 30% of the project, maybe even to 50%. But that's how much it increases the cost of the project.
Unless we do a power purchase agreement.
Yeah, unfortunately, there's no. I wish there were some way for us to own it outright.
But is it 6 years and what's the next one after that, 20?
Well, the power purchase agreement can go out 15 to 20 years.
Right.
But, you know, you start with that opportunity to buy the system out, right?
Thank you. And it's helpful for me to, and I have to think about kilowatt hours a year compared to, megawatt hours per year compares to megawatts.
Then you have to use TVWatt. Use that program online because you're also converting at a DC production usually into kilowatt hours per year.
So a little bit more than
that. I would have told you that myself. If you use TVWatt, you can usually cut that out. I have to do it every, you know.
Okay.
Yeah.
All right.
That's how you do it.
I just want to see in terms of percentage because we're not... Megawatt hours per year and megawatts.
Oh no, I don't. They don't go together.
Okay.
We're about 30% with that installed, not including what's at the college, like just that one to our baseline.
In other words, tell me, say that again about the 30%.
It's about
30% of what?
Not over 30%. So it's in the 25 to 30%. The landfill solar install will cover about somewhere in between 25 to 30% of our current annual usage.
Oh.
Not including.
So she's got you at the 30%.
That's not the college and that install. That doesn't take credit for what's out of the college. That goes against their bill.
Your number of 13 million kilowatt hours a year doesn't include the college anyway.
Correct.
Okay.
College is separate,
right? 25 to 30% generation is a reasonable range.
Thank you.
Wasn't that the rate you just said you wanted us to get?
It's the opposite.
That's good. All right. Thank you.
I just wanted to get back real quick to the security cameras and the RFP.
Mm-hmm.
When do you expect that to be done, the RFP?
I can find out for you tomorrow from Brian to see how far they are on the capital plan. If they're almost done with the capital plan, I imagine he'll finish it up. You know, I mean, there was a lot of work done on it before the budget and the capital plan came at us, and the dates got moved up, and so that's what's been the focus of everybody's day.
No, I understand. I understand, but I still think...
No, no, I know. And we do. We definitely do.
With all the people that walk in and out of the building.
Right. Oh, it's true in a lot of places. You don't get a lot of traffic, but DSS.
And then you've got DSS. You've got the
family court.
You know, the traffic, the foot traffic is strong.
Right. I made a note to check with Brian and see. I'll find out.
All right. I make a motion.
You make a motion to what?
To adjourn.
Okay. Make a second, please.
Thank you.
All in favor?
Bye.